This meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 4, IDN's technical and operations call held on the 30th of November, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? All right. Well, hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription or for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Cheryl Langdon Orr. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Cheryl Langdon Orr for the record. And as usual, the first thing we'll be doing is starting off by asking if there's anyone on today's call from WorkTrack 4 who has an update to their statements of interest. Not seeing anybody raising their hand in the Adobe Connect room, and I'm unaware of anyone just on audio, although I'd love to know whose phone number is in the N801 so we can know who is on the call. Without any further ado, let's look to the next slide, which is a very quick review of our agenda. We're already on the, is it slides unsynced? I don't think so. We'll need to move to the next slide. Okay, now they're unsynced. If you move to slide two, we're filling in the welcoming opening remarks and SOI updates. We'll be now going through what is a very important and I think rewarding activity of recap of our pending issues. We have quite a number of things that we have done, and we have a few things identified that we still need to do. And in today's call, what we'll be looking at is what the slides will show as consensus, which obviously, when we're using the shorthand in the slide, is in fact referring to our rough consensus, not the full-term consensus, meaning that the PDP itself will be looking at. So don't get confused by that. It's just a simple slide shorthand. So rough consensus, where we have rough consensus, and where we still need to come to some sort of resolutions or choices of resolutions for what we're doing. Then, of course, we have any other business and closing. And if there's anyone who has any other business now that they'd like to let us know about, we'll make a note of that and make sure we leave ample time at the end. Not hearing anyone with any other business, we'll ask again at the end of the call. Let's move now, if you can move your slides to slide three, and in fact move to slide five now, and we'll jump straight into the first of our topics. And with this, providing the audio stands up and there's not too much background noise, I'm going to see if Rubens is going to be able to take this part. If the audio isn't good enough, obviously I'm happy to step in as well. Rubens, let's see how we go. Over to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Good morning, evening, afternoon, time of day, everyone. This is Rubens Gill for the transcript. Sorry for the high-level background noise for today's call, and because I'm in a noise environment where I could see myself. If me talking from this environment doesn't work, we'll try do anything else. Our goal today is to go through what we have accomplished so far in WorkTrack 4 and see what we need to do towards our end goal. So we are now closer to the end than to the beginning of this process, so we need to see what we need to do to go towards the initial report, and after some months to the final report. We won't be doing any decisions today. We are only trying to list what we have done so far. So we started with our favorite topic of all topics, which is IDNs. which for some is the only reason for having additional TLDs. And so far, it seems we have come to consensus to support continuing having IgM TLD. So the idea is to keep allowing new IgM TLDs to be applied for, which include IgM GTLDs in our scope, and in the CCNSO that includes also IgM CCTLDs that are continuing to be evaluated and delegated to the root team. But going more specific to IDM, we also listed the consensus to allow one charity IDMs in specific situations. And that specific situations, just to remind everyone, you know, for languages where you have an ideogram that one single character can represent a word or a concept. It's not something that you need multiple characters to express a concept. So that's are the specific situations. We also come to decide to use the routine label generation rules. In 2012, they weren't ready yet. Now we can benefit from them. They are at version 2 nowadays, so now they are called routine label generation rules 2. But that can be updated, so we would support using the time of procedure, the current version of the routine label generation rules, and they could be used both to validate which IgM TLDs are valid, and also to, as much as possible, to include that validation also in the indication system. So although there is no 100% certainty that an algorithmic test can match an IgM TLD to the label generation rules, so as long as it's visible, if the system concludes that, hey, I know this is a valid, it could say, hey, I know it's valid. Or if it's invalid, it could simply block the application, say, no, we won't proceed with this application. Or say, hey, it looks valid, but some human will have to check this out. Also come to a consensus to support IgM variant TLDs, which are cases like Doctor or Quebec with an accent, with a child. When you also come to the conclusion that they should be operated by the same register operator by force of written agreement. But we are still pending the policy requirements for such operation, because we decide that they need to be bundled in some way, but would we specify the way the bundled is done, or it would be specified in implementation, but would be fixed, or it would be left to registry's discretion to choose a bundling method that fits better their language, culture, or target market. That's a decision that we still have to make. It's not done yet. So we need to go back to this decision in the next calls or mailing list. We'll talk about more of this later. Even those consensus calls, although they have some tentative language, they don't have agreed language by the world track. So we also need to check whether the proposed language also reached consensus, not only the principles, but also the language. And that still has to be made, even for those items that we have consensus. So that state on IDNs. And if you can go to the next slide, please, which is the one about universal acceptance, which is number 6, I believe. Regarding universal acceptance, we come to the consensus of mentioning, of to support mentioning the efforts of the Universal Acceptance Steering Group to applicants. That's also one that didn't exist in 2012. That's something that we can tell applicants. But we also decided to not create any additional requirements regarding universal acceptance. It's just a decision to inform applicants so they can be better prepared for the challenges that their registries, their customers, their registrars, the end users, registrants and end users will face using PLDs that are not legacy PLDs, whether they are ASCII PLDs that are not three letters, whether they are IBM PLDs or any kind of service that is currently seen as suffering from universal acceptance. And while we have consensus on these topics, we also don't have language consensus for these topics. We also have tentative language. We need to see whether the language also reaches consensus at the work track. Moving on to slide 7, which is technical evaluation. We have consensus to support aggregating technical evaluation as much as feasible. So same technical infrastructure, backend, registry, and not using precise terminology on purpose because we are not assessing language. But it's something is almost the same and is used in many applications and in registries. That evaluation should be aggregated as much as possible in order to achieve process efficiency. And we also agree to include that between procedures, whether they are rounds or windows, which is the enabler of the RSP program. By this decision wouldn't automatically create the RSP program, but that decision would be compatible if work track 1, I believe, which is looking into RSP programs, if work track 1 comes to the conclusion. Getting an RSP program, that work track proposition would be compatible with that decision. We also agree to support one stat recommendation from ICANN's own evaluation to eliminate the questions that have 0, 1, or 2 points scored, because these were the questions that generated some discrepancies in evaluation, like the same response getting different grades, because it wasn't a pass or fail. Some evaluators thought, no, this is true, because only 0 was a fail. So ICANN suggested and we agreed to move evaluations to be 0-1, pass or fail, if you are not qualified. We also asked GDG for a drill down into classification questions, so text of the questions or an analysis of the current situation questions, and that information is still pending. We find that is that the number of classification questions at the round were excessive, meaning that some language improvement on the questions would be in order, but we don't have yet either an analysis of the questions responses or the text to do the analysis itself to go on this. And it's unknown at this point whether we get this or not. But other than some language improvements and some score improvements, the overall model of the technical evaluation seemed to be sounded acceptable to the group. So that seems that we are only in technical evaluation, we suggest only an evolution of the 2012 model, not a complete replacement of the 2012 model. And we are cognizant that probably this criteria would be the basis of an RSP program if such is created. So we can, with this technical evaluation guidance, hey, this is one of the things that you need to do as an RCP program. So, we have Anne, is her hand raised. Please go ahead, Anne.
Yes, thank you, Rubens. I'd like to propose a friendly amendment with respect to the first bullet point. When we say as much as feasible, I think we need to also say and consistent with policy as to the order of processing of applications. I think we've said in the past that that order is really up to another work track, but I think we need to avoid the implication that we're somehow giving a priority to technical evaluations that are aggregated. So my friendly amendment that I would propose would be as much as feasible, paren, and consistent with the order of processing to be determined by work track. I can't remember which work track it is, recommendations. So it would be, after the word feasible, it would be paren and consistent with the order of processing of applications as recommended by work track X. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. I think you are talking more about how the results are published than how the applications are processed. Because if you suggest them to get efficiency, they will likely use the low-hanging fruit to process efficiency. But that's different from the scheduling of how I can say, hey, you are approved. And that's one of the questions that's been looked by the work track. So the two aspects are actually independent of each other. Because I could evaluate, like, patients that are from the same backend IGT provider and keep the results with ICANN until time comes for the order of that applicants to be released. Let's say there is a draw or a lottery that determines the order. That can be used and that can still be honored even if the processing itself is done in a totally different order. So what we might need to consider is saying that this is implying how results are published, and that would come from the other work track. So more on the order of processing, more on the order of result publishing. And I don't know if Anne has an old hand or not, but since Kurt is much more experienced in this than all of us here, I will go to Kurt now, and if Anne has something, we'll go back to her. Please go ahead, Kurt.
Yes, I like so after that introduction, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this, but I'd like to support Anne in her sentiment, and if I have the issue correctly, even be a little bit stronger. I think last time with this issue, we thought that, additional technical evaluation shouldn't retard or slow down the processing of IDNs or those sort of applications that require some additional technical evaluation, that they should retain their place in queue. So, I think I remember when that it was Anne that brought up this issue last time, and, I think we should support that. The new GTLD program should support technical innovation and should support IDNs. And so, additional technical evaluation required by these innovative TLDs should not, you know, should not penalize them in any way from a timing standpoint. And then, and that would be a, you know, policy statement. I have a little bit of trouble with a policy statement that says as much as feasible, because it's not really creating a policy. It's, you know, it's a little too vague. So not as helpful as you were hoping for, Rubens, but there you go.
No problem, Chris. Seeing no thanks, I move then to the next slide, which is registry, which is a good bridge because I think we discussed the thing of not penalizing innovative applications in the realm of registry services, not in the realm of technical evaluation. So what we were discussing technical evaluation, not much as priority to the NTLDs or priority to applications with new registry services or not. But let's say one applicant comes with a new backend registry and another applicant comes with one backend that's being evaluated forever, like all the non-usual suspects. So I think Anne's question was more towards that than to the question of innovation, etc. So, looking at where you are at registry services, we've come to a consensus to support a list of pre-approved services, and we come to a consensus to define RCEP as the tool to evaluate new registry services, which is different from 2012 because the process kind of mimics RCEP, but was not RCEP per se. Now we have defined, hey, RCEP, RCEP. But we still have to define regarding registry services whether applicants need to specify which pre-approved services will be provided. So we have both ideas. One is if you are providing one of the pre-approved services, you don't need to specify which one. The other was if you are doing some pre-approved services, you need to tell in the application which ones will be provided. We also have to define pre-approved services list or a minimum list and a process that it should be followed during implementation to build this list. That's still pending. And we also have to define processing of applications that suggest new registry services. We have many conversations about fees, about order of processing, about order of results, which was exactly what we're discussing in the next slide. So those discussions are still pending. Those discussions are not closed yet. So if you can go now to slide 8, which is financial evaluation. In financial evaluation, we had a consensus to rebuild it from scratch. So everyone hated. it was in 2012, so there is a consensus to it. There is a consensus also to not evaluate the business model, but to look into a term that I now borrow from another ICA initiative, which is the Marketplace Health Index. So look into it more into the eyes of marketplace health than is this business model going to work or not. And we noticed that discussion whether in 2012 that there was evaluation of business model or not is something that was somewhat contentious. But one of the question evaluation financial planning for a usual case, not for a critical case, not for a contingency case, but for an usual case. And some see that as a business model evaluation. I can doesn't see that way. And so getting this defined is something that's still pending. We have two strong four models presented, which was the straw machine, the straw bee of evaluation, and during the discussion, two other models came to life, which were the straw beetle and the straw cookie monster. But we still need more data. From the
other. This is a chill here. I think what we might do while Rubens tries to relocate is go to Anne. Anne, I'm assuming your hand was up for slide 9 in financial evaluation. Okay, over to you, Anne, and we'll try and sort out Rubens' audio. If Julie, if you can give him a hand with that, please. Thanks.
Okay, of these two models, in order to have all four models presented to the WordPress and then compare it, and then because there are some models you can just. Them all and build something different, or we can choose one. It's up to the work track. And there are some mentions to post.
Rubens? Cheryl here, Rubens?
So we consider 30 party certification.
Okay. Rubens, certainly for people and it is for other people, there is a considerable disconnect between the timing in the Adobe room and chat and what we're hearing from you. It's dropping out. We're losing significant amounts of what you're saying. So whilst you try and fix that, and obviously it may need a relocation perhaps just briefly, I thought we should go to Anne and hear what she was going to raise under, I assume, slide 9, financial evaluation. So let's see if we can sort out your audio while we listen to Anne. Anne, go ahead, please.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. This is Anne for the transcript. I'm a little bit confused on the order because the and if I could ask Rubens to mute, there's an awful lot of sound there. But on the order of the slides, what I see right after technical evaluation was a registry services slide, and I'm not sure, did Rubens say that we were going to skip over that one and do it later? Or because you asked me if I wanted to comment regarding financial evaluation, but what I'm seeing in the slides is that between technical evaluation and financial evaluation, I see a registry services slide.
That's correct. There was a registry services slide.
Okay, very good. I'm not really able to understand what Rubens is saying in his summaries because of the background noise. And on registry services, if in fact he was discussing that slide before he got very quickly to financial evaluation, I think that there's an issue that's really not clearly defined on this slide, and that is when we say processing of applications suggesting new registry services, I think there we're talking about the order of processing things when you suggest new registry services. But the other bullet point that I believe is missing is the one about whether or not applicants would be required to disclose new registry services that are proposed at the application phase. Now, we all know that, you know, our SEP can kick in later if a service, you know, if a registry decides it wants to propose something, you know, later, it can use RSVP. But if at the time of the intent of the application a new service, you know, is proposed, there's this question of still to define would be whether or not a TLD registry application is required to disclose proposed new registry services, because that is the current policy in the applicant guidebook. And we haven't clearly stated that still to define issue, whether or not new applications must disclose new services. And that bullet point needs to be added to the registry services slide.
Thank you, Anne. Cheryl here, and we'll try going back to Rubens in a moment because he apparently is on the audio bridge now. Can I ask, with that proposal, that we might want to perhaps reframe it slightly, because of course if we don't propose a change to anything in the applicant guidebook, then what is in the applicant guidebook stands. So perhaps what we should do is just word that additional bullet point on slide 8 that you were suggesting is rather than a definition, discuss any changes to existing requirements for disclosure of new services. Would that meet your needs as well? Otherwise, I think it's sort of covered by the fact that it's already the default.
Well, actually, Cheryl, and thank you for asking that question. I believe that bullet point 2, as drafted here, leads to an opposite conclusion, a conclusion that we are changing the policy, because it says that we have a consensus to define RSEP as the tool to evaluate new registry services. That implies we are changing the policy, and that RSEP is how new registry services are evaluated, and that there's nothing about the application process that requires evaluation or requires those services to be disclosed. So I think that bullet point is misleading. I think we have to say that still to be defined is whether or not, because as you recall, there were like 3 straw person proposals that have never actually been fully analyzed, and in relation to this issue that I'm raising.
We're painfully aware of that, in fact, and one of the reasons we're hopefully ticking off what we do have a rough consensus on and what we still need to define is to allow us to plan and effectively execute exactly those discussions. So it's not that this isn't to be done. This is clearly being marked out as work still to be done. So it's not as if we're trying to skip over here. Now, what is in the chat, Anne, if we can also look at that, Jeff is pointing out that RCEP was always how new registry services is evaluated. And Ruben's also pointing out that obviously we're talking rough consensus here, we're not talking full consensus. But I think your point was for new TLD applicants, wasn't it?
Yes, it's really, thank you, Cheryl, Dan, again, and it's really what I've put in quotes as the proposed, again, friendly bullet point, the fourth I guess it's a bullet point without being filled in. The light-colored bullet points, and it would be the very end of the slide, is really the question that still needs to be defined, is whether a new GTLD application should be required to disclose new services at the time of the application.
Okay. Well, I see no downside in just putting that in as an additional still to be defined. That's fine. That's a simple enough thing. I understand that it is encompassed in one to some extent with terms of pre-approved services, but I guess there's a fine definitional point for us still to discuss. That is not a discussion now, and it's not a decision now. Still to discuss what is pre-approved services and what may be new or innovative services that are not in that pre-approved set, and whether I suspect you're asking, Anne, whether they would need to be declared. But let's have the discussion when we get to the discussion. Right now, we're just trying to work out what we still need to discuss. So if you want to put some text into the chat for that bullet point, let's move through to slide 9 again, and let's go back and see if Reuben has good audio. Back to you, Reuben. Can you make sure Reuben is unmuted, please? I'm not. Can you try again? Okay. Staff is going to slavishly try and work out why we can't talk to Reuben, or Reuben can't talk to us. And whilst that gets fixed, and it sounded to me very much like a connectivity issue, I've certainly had several of those. Let's quickly go over now slide 9 again, and we'll start a queue on any comments that you want to make on financial evaluation. So far, we believe the rough consensus is that we need to rebuild it from scratch, that there is a consensus to not evaluate business model, but look into marketplace health, that there's a nuanced interpretation of how the 2012 evaluation was not a business model evaluation, and that's something we obviously totally followed on, because it's business model evaluation. Let me move on rather than get into a black hole there. That we already have two straw models presented and two straw models yet to be presented. And as far as Rubens and I can ascertain, the additional straw models will probably come into our hands in the next week to 10 days. So we will be looking, hopefully, at these in our next call. And there's also consideration of whether to include third-party certification. Are there points there that we have missed or misinterpreted? If so, let us know now. Not seeing anybody frantically wave at me, and Jeff indicating that in his view that sounds about right. Anne, back to you.
Hi, I'm sorry, it's Anne again. I'm just trying to, okay, consensus on elaborating, do not apply an exercise careless. Okay, that's what I was looking for, is the one where I think we all felt like that if there were people that were applying and they did not learn until much later that they could not, in fact, go forward with their TLDs, then I think what we're saying here is, on the do not apply list, that those folks would be advised, you know, very quickly. Maybe I'm still missing this. What I'm looking for is the place where when people apply, that even if their string is not do not apply, that there's a very early evaluation of name collisions, so that nobody's kept hanging for months or years while they go through all these other processes, and then later somebody tells them, sorry, you can't move forward due to name collision risk. I thought we had a rough consensus on not only the do not apply list, but on some early screening process. And I know that you know, that's one of the, I think that's one of the SEC recommendations as well, but there, we need to be saying that that's got to be an early screening so that people aren't left hanging.
Okay, thank you, Anne. You've preempted input then on slide 11. We were rerunning through slide 9 because of the difficulty in audio, but it seemed to me that we didn't have any indication that anything on slide 9 needed modifying. So let's quickly go through slide 10 before we get to slide 11, and we'll take what you've said in relationship to the following slide after this one.
Oh, I apologize, can we try again? There's an awful lot being typed in the notes that is not, it's not, in other words, for all these notes.
Thank you, Anne. I use the notes after the call, not during the call. I have enough to do by keeping up with the slides, the hands, and the chat. So, if that's happening in the notes, I'm not looking at that. I must apologise. Anyway, let's now first of all test whether Williams is only going to be able to chat. His bandwidth is sufficiently bad. Sorry about that, Rubens. At least we got your voice into a goodly amount of today's call. So now you'll just have to put up with bird calls, which I can't say anything about. Right, so now let's quickly look at the information on slide 10, which is where we believe we are on name collisions in legacy and in 2012 GTLDs. We believe we have consensus on keeping the procedures for 2012 round GTLDs as they are, and there is discussion on name collisions in legacy GTLDs still pending. We also obviously want to make sure that the whole of our work track is aware that in the matter of name collisions with the recent board resolution at ICANN 60 with the SAC work, that is pending, that work will not be, we believe, it would be astonishing if it was, we can see no way that it will be completed, that study will be completed in a timely manner for us to take advantage of. So there may be some things that we recognise that we'll have to simply leave till the SAC work is completed in probably 12 to 18 months' time. So is there any input on the two bullet points on slide 10 before we move to 11? Other than the lorikeets, which clearly think there should be some changes. Let's now move to slide 11. Is that you, Rubens, back on the audio? Nope, it just sounded like a familiar background noise, Jimmy. Okay, now let's move into name collisions for subsequent procedures. And this is probably where I should have raised the SAC study. My apologies. I was so keen to get to this slide. Here we have the following points. The consensus on expanding the 2012 framework for categorisation of low, aggravated and high risk. We believe we have rough consensus on elaborating the do not apply and exercise care lists. We believe that we have consensus on keeping readiness requirements for life-threatening collisions, and that for low-risk streams, consensus on starting controlled interruptions as soon as possible and delegate execution to ICANN. The things we believe we still need to discuss on name collisions is the guidelines or guidance to make guidelines for categorisation and list creation, including possible applicant opinion and collision framework, a definition of service level agreements for collision readiness, an interaction with the board requested SAC guidance, which I preemptively spoke about when we were looking at the last slide. Have we missed anything? Anne, you've already had one bite at this cherry. If this is new information, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Just two questions. Could we get a clarification in bullet point 4 of what delegate execution to ICANN means? Because my recollection is that we may have been talking here about what's the appropriate period of controlled interruption, and I don't think we're saying let ICANN decide the appropriate period of controlled interruption. I don't know what we are saying about the period of controlled interruption. Are we saying leave it the same? And what does delegate execution to ICANN mean? That's my first question.
Well, Rubens has responded that it would mean that ICANN would do the controlled interruption, not the registries. Okay. And Maxine points out in the chat, there were talks of 90 days and 120 days from his memory.
And the current policy is 120 days? Is that?
I thought it was, yes. There's no consensus to change. As Rubens is pointing out, there's no consensus to change from the 2012 round.
Okay. Could we just say instead of delegate execution to ICANN, could we just say and ICANN will
okay, and what I'm hearing is you don't find the language in that part of that bullet point clear and easily understood, and you would like us to look at new wording to make it read more simply. Is that correct?
Yes, please. So I'll move to that. My second question very quickly is about the still pending in the first bullet point under that. It says possible applicant opinion. I don't know. Oh, possible applicant opinion and collision framework. What do we mean by that?
Well, Rubens is typing, so I will give him the courtesy of filling in what the shorthand on a slide he has created means. But as far as I was remembering, is that it would allow that if an applicant did not believe that there would be a collision risk, they could state that, or that their consequences of collision was minimal, they could state that, and that would be considered. But it wasn't a – now, I'm waiting to see what Rubens is typing. But again, if you want that language reviewed to make it more clear, we will do that.
Yeah, it might help to use the word proposal. Thank you, Cheryl. In other words, we're talking here about a possible applicant assessment and proposed collision mitigation or something like that. Proposal from the applicant might be make things clearer. Thank you.
Okay. And remember, these are things we have yet to discuss. We still have this pending. Right? And as Rubens pointed out, this is not tentative language for the report. These are slides to allow us to recap where we are, what we need to still deal with, and what we believe we have got relatively finalized. Okay? So what I'd like to do, because certainly Rubens and I need to be in another meeting before the top of the hour, or no later than the top of the hour, is move quickly to our next slide on the root zone scaling. So if you'll now all move to slide 12. And here we have a couple of points to note. The consultation was sent to ESSEC, ARSEC and OCTO. There was consensus on separating application processing and contracting capacity from root zone scalability. And the current thinking, as far as we can ascertain, of the work track is
leaning towards removing hard ceilings and replacing them with continued monitoring. Have we captured that accurately at this stage? If we have, and we haven't had answers back, by the way, as yet, on the consultation sent out, let's move to slide 13, which is delightfully where I'd like to be to leave us a little bit of time if anyone has any other business. So if you have any other business, please bring it forward now. Please, Anne, go ahead.
Yes, Cheryl, it's Anne again. I'm sorry, were these slides circulated prior to this call?
And I certainly got a copy of them, but they were certainly done quite late. Is that a problem or not?
It's awfully hard, I think, for people to, you know, we're going through a whole lot of material all at once, and I know that I've commented about this in the past, but I do feel that, especially at this point of determining, as you say, you know, rough consensus, we really would benefit highly in the group and on the calls to be more effective if we could see slides, you know, somewhat in advance, even just 24 hours. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure that that is something we'd all like to see happen, and occasionally it doesn't. This is one of those times. Basically, of course, we're not making consensus calls or decisions today. These could indeed be considered as an aide memoir for us all. There should be no new material in them. In fact, there should be material that is simply trying to establish what we have already gone through and what we still need to go through. And to that end, I'm not overly concerned. I'm not quite sure how much homework would have been needed to be done on them. Anybody who, as you have, been closely and deeply involved with, I don't think you've missed any of our calls, would be well aware of where we have had agreements and disagreements on all of these topics. So if somebody is very new into WorkTrack 4, then yes, I suppose that they would have benefited more from having more advance so they could perhaps bring themselves up to speed by going back over old records and recordings and see whether or not we are in rough consensus on some of these topics or not. So all I can do is apologise for the fact that they were not distributed in advance, say it is, as usual, our intention to try and do so at least a day or so in advance, but point out that just like you all, we are volunteers, and as volunteers, sometimes real work and real life gets in the way, and I'm not going to apologise for that. So with that, we will do our best to do better. I will see if Rubens wants to see if he wants to say anything in his in this final phases of the call, even if it's in chat, which he is typing, which is I think we might just wait to see what he types there. I do, however, apologise for the noisiness of both my line and Rubens' line today. Sometimes it's just a matter of where we are, or in my case, it's often a matter of the time of day. But now, of course, we're ending the call and all the bird life has settled down. So with that, let's see. Nothing to add from Rubens, apparently, excepting for me stepping up and bringing you through a bird call background call instead of a canteen call which he was running. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Ah, there goes the bird call on cue. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for suffering with us under some both technical difficulties and background noise issues. We do apologise for that. Our next call is, thank you, Julie, on perfect timing, on the 14th of December at 0300 UTC. And we will make the changes to these slides as we've discussed. The notes will be distributed
And please, any of you who had further thoughts, do pop them to the list, and we will also see what we can do about getting any other discussion going between now and the 14th on list as well. So thank you very much. We look forward to also looking at financial evaluation options in our next call. And with that, it's bye for now.
Thanks, everyone. Today's meeting has been adjourned. You can disconnect all lines and enjoy the rest of your day.